Welcome back to Retail Therapy on the Sunday Scaries podcast feed. My name's Will DeFries. My co-host sitting right next to me, Barrett Dudley. Barrett, how's it going today?
Oh, it's going swell. You know, just riding it out here in the dog days of summer. You know, trying not to melt.
Yeah, I've got, I'm in that mode right now where I will be on vacation starting Friday.
Yeah.
For the next week after that. And so it wouldn't be a stretch to say that motivation is low when it comes to just general everything.
Yeah.
I also am just absolutely overthinking what I'm going to pack on this vacation. It's a simple, straightforward vacation to my hometown of Michigan. But, you know, I'm an avid overpacker.
What is the forecast looking like, by the way?
You know, there's a little bit of rain. There's a little bit of rain. I'm not going to worry about that. You know, it'll clear up eventually. But in terms of temperature, we're looking high 50s to low 80s.
Wow.
Yeah. And if I can do what Drake has told me to do, and I can wear a cashmere knit on a nighttime boat ride, uh-huh, I will be a happy boy at that.
Yeah,
time.
Yeah. Do you have any nighttime boat rides queued up?
I don't. And the unfortunate thing is that
for nighttime boat rides.
I'm a little worried that some of my friends who could actually make a nighttime boat ride happen will not be present for this trip.
Oh no.
So I have one person that I can hit up, and I think I might just have to do it solely for the Instagram caption.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see. How's Barrett doing?
I'm doing well. You know, I've just been, nothing like on that I've felt the need to put on the radar of retail therapy listeners. But I've just been, I've been swimming in sales season.
I was gonna
because I can't help myself. But I gotta say, I got these new J. Crew shorts on today. They're just like a really obnoxious purple color that kind of goes. But
I'm into it.
It's not my first choice, but they were $12.
Yeah.
You know, J. Crew's just like giving stuff away for free. There's no way that they're making money when they ship you something and it arrives in like 2 days and you spent $12 on it.
Absolutely.
There's no way.
I'm sure they get some preferential shipping rates from whoever they're using, whether it be UPS, yeah. DHL.
DHL, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know you can get those shipping rates down, but yeah, you still have to imagine that they're not making very much on their $12 purple shorts.
I don't think so, but I'm happy to have them.
I mean, this isn't a segment or anything. This is just me genuinely needing to know. Are there any sales that I've been overlooking during sales season that I need to maybe take a look at?
You know, we're riding up to the end of it, but this J. Crew sale that was happening over the weekend, I think it's still going on. Basically, anything that was already on sale, if you bought three things, they took 70% off your an extra 70% off of your entire order.
What's the status of J. Crew these days? There was a little rumbling at the beginning of this year that J. Crew was officially like back.
Okay, well here's what this is my take. This is why they are just having this like J. Crew is always having some type of blowout sale. This was like an all-out blowout sale, like get everything off the site. And that is because Brendan Babenzian hit he was a creative director at Supreme, then he launched the brand Noah, and now he's the creative director at J. Crew. That was the big hubbub earlier this year or late last year, whenever that was announced. His first collection for J. Crew is launching this fall, which means it's probably in the range of 2 to 4 weeks from debuting.
Okay.
So I think they're clearing the site. They're clearing the lane so that he can, that he can drive to the hoop and dunk on us.
Okay. So we need to mark our calendars to do a full rundown of the best new pieces from J. Crew of fall.
Yeah. Cause it is going to be a big deal.
There's nothing better. I mean, living in Texas during sale season is great because that you can buy these things on sale and we're going to have until mid-October to wear these without any concerns.
Right.
But the window shopping that gets done from me between August and that time in October, it's just an all-time window shopping time. And I mean, I'm sure we can talk about this more when the time comes, but there's nothing better than that first work day when it's below 60 degrees and that you can bust out the outfit that you've just been absolutely waiting to bust out.
The hilarious part of it, and we've probably talked about it on this podcast, I've definitely talked about it on Club Cool, is how we know that in six weeks from now, I refuse to go to the first UT football game generally because it's like 107 degrees over Labor Day weekend. That won't stop me from just like drooling over heavy wool sweaters on that very same weekend.
Yeah. I was trying to figure out.
And I'll just tell myself, it's fall.
Yeah.
You know, I need some, I need something like this.
Oh, I was talking to Sally recently about something. I bought something from, it took 5 minutes for me to mention this. I was trying to go back in my mind to when I bought some pants from ALD recently.
Yeah. Might as well get the mention out of the way early.
And so 2 years ago, I was trying to figure out when I got it. And I was like, Sally, do you remember what time of year that was? And she was like, I don't know. It was definitely fall. And I went back and I was like, oh, I remember. I had to turn the brightness on my phone all the way up and it overheated in the middle of me checking out, trying to get the early access when I was getting on a boat. And I was like, that tells you everything you need to know about buying fall clothing in Texas is that my phone was overheating outside while I was trying to order fall clothing.
Trying to buy some fall gear. Yeah. That speaking of sales that you should watch out for, though, that the ALD sale is imminent.
Okay.
That it's either at the end of this week or at the end of next week would be my guess. So if, you know, if that's something that you're interested in, it goes super fast. It's 40% off every time. And every time it rolls around and it's, and pretty much everything is gone within like 24 to 36 hours. So
I'm going to try to really exercise some restraint when it comes to this sale. I've already kind of picked over the things that I wanted. I don't think there's anything on the sale that's going to like tickle my fancy enough, but you know, those are famous last words. I'll probably just end up absolutely getting a talking to from someone about the credit card bill at some point. For anyone out there wondering what retail therapy is, welcome. This is an offshoot of Sunday Scaries. There's a lot of times when I want to talk about certain things that don't really fit into the regular Sunday episodes. And so I invited Barrett on at the beginning of this year, and we've been having fun ever since. This is our 15th episode. I feel like we've actually done more. I feel like we've done way more than 15 at this point.
It does. Yeah. I feel like we got to 10 really quickly. So I'm surprised that this isn't our 30th episode.
And so, to anyone out there who's enjoying it. And if you're wondering why you're hearing this on a Sunday, it's because of my aforementioned vacation. I was trying to make my week leading up to vacation, my shortened week, a little bit better. So if this is your first exposure to retail therapy, a hearty welcome from us. If you have any questions, you can always reach out to us on Instagram. You can hit up Barrett at Barrett Dudley on Instagram. You can hit me up at Will DeFreeze, or you can hit up the Sunday Scaries account at Sunday.Scaries. And as always, I put listener companions on the Substack, willdefreeze.substack.com, whether it's links to the articles we talk about, some items that we talk about, whatever it may be. I try to put it in there just so you guys have an idea and no one has to hit us up in the DMs and say like, hey, do you guys have a link to... Nope. It's all right there on there, willdefreeze.substack.com. And as always, you can watch all of these episodes on YouTube at youtube.com/washedmedia. Might be some news on that. We might have our own little YouTube station sooner than later. So just keep an eye out. Okay. But before we get into everything today, let's talk about our friends over at Thrive Market. When my son came into this world, a pure passion of mine got removed from my schedule, and that is going to the grocery store. But once I discovered Thrive Market, especially through my wife, we were Thrive Market customers well before I even had them on this podcast. She gets everything from there, and I absolutely love it. Finding all your grocery items in one place at an affordable price is almost impossible now, but with Thrive Market, I can get everything I need and so much more. With Thrive Market, you can shop everything from healthy pantry essentials to sustainable meat and seafood to non-toxic cleaning and beauty products, all delivered right to your door. And if you find a price lower elsewhere, Thrive Market will match it. Thrive Market carefully vets each and every item so you can trust that if they sell it, it's probably the highest quality available. Finding everything you need is easy on Thrive Market because you can filter by 90 plus values and lifestyles to find what works for you. Shop by what you eat and what matters most to you. With over 5,000 food, home, and beauty products, finding what you need is easy with Thrive Market. So if you're looking for plant-based stuff, keto, gluten-free, whatever it may be, Thrive Market's got you covered. I recently bought some stuff from here. You ever hear of, they have stuff that's made by Thrive Market, which I will stand behind, but they also have other stuff too, like Purely Elizabeth granola. Yeah.
Yes.
They've got Weleda face creams. They've got the free range jalapeno turkey sticks that are made by Thrive Market, an absolute staple in my lunches. Even their Mavuno organic dried mango. That's my late night snack of choice these days. I don't love having to brush my teeth after my late night snack again, but with that dried mango, you got to be careful. When you join Thrive Market, you join a community of over 1 million plus members and sponsoring a family in need. And with their fast and free carbon neutral shipping, you are also bettering the planet. Join Thrive Market today and get $80 in free groceries. That's thrivemarket.com/scaries to get $80 in free groceries. Again, that's thrivemarket.com/scaries, thrivemarket.com/scaries. It's time to talk about something that I've been hearing a lot about. My wife has been doing it. Everyone online seems to be doing it. And this can all be drawn back to something that caught fire during the pandemic that I think a lot of guys like us just overlooked.
Yeah.
Talking about hot girl walks.
Okay.
Hot girl walks, for those not in the know, I'm going to read you a little passage from Elle Australia.
This feels like something that I've heard about, but I'm not, but before, you know, before this podcast, it's not something that I was like overwhelmingly aware of.
Yeah. So I think walking just in general kind of, you know, hit its stride.
Yeah.
Get it? during the pandemic, because people were just bored and it's like, well, I can at least go take a walk. And this is where hot girl walks came from. So this article from Elle said, going for a long walk while listening to an aspirational podcast isn't exactly a groundbreaking new phenomenon, albeit a rare occurrence at times. But the essence of this kind of walk and its potential purpose has been given a whole new meaning thanks to a TikTok trend, the hot girl walk. The walk in question is currently having a major moment, but it was technically invented, or more accurately redefined, last year by a TikTok user named Mia, who goes by the handle exactly like other girls. And so essentially hot girl walks are just a time to go out, strut your stuff and enjoy yourself. And maybe just get some miles in while listening to something and gassing yourself up a little bit.
Now this says specifically that it's supposed to be a 4-mile walk. Is that a parameter that you're familiar with? That this has to be, if it's not 4 miles exactly, if you go over or under that, you didn't do a hot girl walk?
I don't know. I'm going to say that, you know, if some people are doing a 2-mile hot girl walk, I don't think I'm going to shame those hot girls, because I like to see hot girls win.
Yeah.
I was surprised
by the specificity.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, I think the specificity maybe makes it like a little more shareable for her, and she can she can kind of have some banter around that.
I mean, and then the other thing, like, can you be getting your jams on? Can you be like, you know, listening to NPR? Does it have to be an inspirational podcast?
I think it could be anything.
Anything.
I think as long as it makes you feel hot,
that gasses you up.
And the question that I have is, you know, neither of us are hot girls.
Correct. But I copped to not being just fully aware of this trend. And that's because I blame my TikTok algorithm. You should be able to choose what algorithm you want that's not your algorithm, or at least like switch over to it. I would like to be able to switch over to like a 28-year-old girl living in like Brooklyn.
And just see.
And just know. Yeah. And just like, let me get that algorithm for an hour, so I can be up on all of this stuff.
Well, I don't use TikTok nearly as much as I used to. And that's an intentional choice of mine. And the issue is that it's thrown off my algorithm completely. I used to have like chill dudes trying on outfits. I went through a whole phase of getting a lot of pottery and clay people, just spinning the wheel. And I really enjoyed that time. And now I'm just back into like the viral memes and lame videos. And I have to ask, because we are not hot girls, is there any way that we can commandeer this and try to find out like a hot guy walk, or what would be the male equivalent of a hot girl walk? Or should we just start taking hot girl walks as tributes to hot girls?
Well, okay. So I think that I was joking about the very specific things that the article here mentions, but I think more important than, you know, the call out for an inspirational podcast or the metric of 4 miles is that you're only allowed to do 3 things on this walk. You can think about your goals, and you can think about, let's see what it is. You can think about what you're grateful for, and you can think about how hot you are. But outside of those boundaries, you're not allowed to think about anything else.
Okay.
It's really the mindset that defines this. I don't think I've honed in on exactly like what the 3 things are for the hot guy walk, but I did. What this reminds me of is, I took a weekday off this past week. I took a Friday off,
a little mental health day.
And I had a vision for what my Friday morning was going to be. By the way, this all got thrashed. I didn't get to do a single thing.
What I wanted to hear. I was hoping it was going to pan out perfectly for you.
No. It all got thrown out the window by like 9:30 a.m. And I spent the day on just like chores, basically. It was awful. Stuff that had to get done. But like I went to bed on Thursday night thinking that I was going to get up, I was going to take the dogs on a walk, and then I was going to go to the gym, get a little morning session, which I never get to do. My gym is on South Congress. And then I was going to take a stroll down South Congress, down to Manana, which is the coffee shop at the South Congress Hotel.
Yeah.
And just like get myself a little cold brew. And I was going to have like a little post-gym kit on, you know, nothing too crazy, but just like feeling, you know, just a little swag.
Yeah.
Can I do that?
Yeah.
Can I get a little swag
on, absolutely do that.
On South Congress on a Friday morning? And then I was just going to have myself a little morning like that.
Maybe.
And that I think was going to be my hot boy walk.
Maybe hot boy mornings are what we need to start going with. Cause like, I love a good productive morning of just doing things that I want to do. I could probably stand to work out as much as you do. That's not something that's currently in my hot boy morning. For me, it's like, I think you have like a good point here. For me, it's almost like just going out and running completely unnecessary errands, making up a reason that I need to go try on some new shirts just in case I have to do something.
Just casually. And I'm, you know, I'm big on, I won't bore everybody with like personality type and Enneagram, but like one thing that I know very well about myself is that I just like value independence and like that, like little, that those moments of me time, those are high on my, like my needs pyramid. You know what I mean?
It could not be higher for me at this point.
And so like this morning that I had planned out was just going to be me. Not that I wanted, not that I don't also love company, but just a little solo time to just like, you know, get my groove back essentially, just like Stella. And that was going to be, but yeah, I think that definitely would have been head clearing. I was definitely going to be thinking about how, you know, how cool I looked.
Well, it's somewhat aspirational when you're like doing the things that you would like to be doing every day instead of just on your mental health days.
Right. And it was just going to be like really freewheeling, like no time commitments, no meetings to hit, no deadlines, no like things that I had to be at.
See, I'm having an issue. I recently did a segment on Scaries. I don't even know when this was. I don't know if it was 2 months ago. I don't know if it was 2 weeks ago. I recently did a segment on something about when you're trying to do an activity that relaxes you. Now people are encountering anxiety from not feeling relaxed immediately once they start doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually getting this feeling now. The other day, and I think this is spawned from my having a kid, is that like now when I have downtime, if I feel like I'm not being productive in that downtime, I start to get very stressed out. And so I went to the pool the other day to have a hot boy tan sesh.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's another good one.
It's a really good one. Yeah. And I don't bring a book down there. I don't even try to pretend like I'm going to read. All I want to do is shut my eyes, lay on a towel, dip into the pool, get back out, reapply some sunscreen, and just get bronzed.
Yeah.
And I found myself after 20 minutes, and during the pandemic, I could do this for hours on end. I could go to the pool for 3 hours and not move and be happy as a clam. The other day, I got there for 20 minutes and I was like, I'm too antsy. I have to go do something. I have to go be productive. I have to go do something entertaining.
So here's the piece of it that's crucial. You have to carve out these days where you're saying, here, nothing matters except for not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's why you can't do it on a weekend, because weekends are too hectic.
Yeah.
And you do have obligations and responsibilities and social things and friends and family and like all these things. All these boxes that you have to check on when the weekend rolls around, because you don't get to do any of that stuff during the week. So it almost has to be like these little like weekday moments that you somehow find the time to carve out for yourself to get in these hot boy and hot girl walks.
I might just start taking hot girl walks. Sally's been doing this for a little bit now.
How's it going for her?
She does it with our son, and she likes to get she gets it all going. Like we have a giant stroller that she uses. She gets him in there. She gets everything strapped up in there. She takes the dog out and she just starts strutting down the street and just like starts waving to people, saying what up, talking on the phone the entire time, like just enjoying herself.
Yeah.
I don't think she's listening to aspirational podcasts as much as she is just like calling her friends and having a great time.
Okay.
But whenever I'm on one of the walks with her, I feel like an intruder. I'm like, I feel like you don't want me here because you're not getting your alone time in and enjoying yourself. It's also too hot here for a hot girl walk.
That is also true. That's a big piece of it.
Like you can't bring your dog on a hot girl walk right now because your dog's little paw pads are going to melt off.
Right. You got to, unless you're going to do like 7:30 a.m. and then it's going to be hard to think about how hot you are.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So. I don't know. I'm gonna keep my eyes on hot girl walks, and I'm gonna try to come up with the male equivalent, because I just don't feel like I'm taking enough hot girl walks at this point. Maybe I just need to start doing it.
Hot girl walks. I will say, you know, you mentioned the weather, and I'm looking at this Elle Australia article, and they just popped up a random photo here of a young lady strolling with her fashionable clothes on in a fashionable city. It would appear, and I will say that you're talking hot girl walks and I'm picturing fall. This feels like it goes hand in hand with like a crisp New York City day listening to like some Evermore or something. I don't know.
I'm jealous. We don't live in a walkable city.
No.
If we lived in New York City or somewhere that was, you know, Chicago, somewhere like that, I would feel so much more, I'd feel so much better about my walks. But I also think I would dress much differently if I lived in a city where I walked everywhere.
Well, naturally. That's like that the fact that other people are walking means that you will be seen in your clothing. Mm-hmm.
If I work out, uh-huh. If I get on my Peloton and I decide to crush some KJs, I don't really care what I'm wearing because I know I'm going to sweat through it. Yeah. If I'm taking a walk, I'm busting out the high end like workout gear that I have. I want to make sure that if anyone sees me on that walk, they're like, okay, that guy's got his life together.
Yeah.
He might not have his life together.
The 10,000 exactly. Shorts.
I'm getting the 10,000 shorts. I'm getting just like a moisture wicking like long sleeve with like a logo on it or mm-hmm. something. It's like, oh, what's that logo? Yeah. Like, where's he been?
Right.
He didn't buy a polo from the golf course. He bought an embroidered t-shirt. That's a unique move.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to turn heads at this point.
Yeah.
Barrett, do you have some Dumois tea that you need to spill to us?
It originated on Dumois. It falls under that category. But I thought that it was just worth noting here on the Retail Therapy Podcast, as we talk social media trends and we get ready for fall, you need to prepare yourselves, guys and girls alike, for the social media onslaught that is about to rain down over the next few months as Emily Ratajkowski makes her hot girl return to being single on the Grom. She and her husband have split after 4 years. And this just felt very noteworthy because as she has kind of like receded from the spotlight a little bit, Hailey Bieber has kind of taken that spot,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Emrata has been focused on the motherhood and her baby boy, which is all great. Very happy for her. But maybe you've noticed a few posts recently from her in which she is extremely single appearing.
Yeah. She's had a slight uptick in just the amount of posts that she's been putting up.
Yep. And the content is back to old school Emrata content.
About a week ago, I said something to Sally and I was like, I just saw a tweet about Emrata getting cheated on. I started diving in a little bit more and there wasn't a lot of information on it. But then today I saw there was a lot more stuff online about it when I decided to revisit that.
It's been officially announced is what's happened. Wow. This was bubbling online and on the Dumois of the world and all of that. And it was kind of like a not very secret, but it's been officially publicized now.
Is the world ready for revenge Emrata?
That's what I'm saying. I don't think so.
Like, how many A-listers right now are like looking for an out in their relationship because they're like, wait, okay, can I actually make this happen?
I imagine that if you're Emily Ratajkowski, you probably just turn your DMs off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but it's probably like the most just the most insane anybody's DMs have ever been in the history of social media.
I never really understood her. They got married. They got married, and the only person there was the fat Jewish.
Yeah.
Like, I never really understood him. I know he was like a movie producer. I knew that he wore some very, I don't even know how to describe his style because it was almost like if he was a mobster in like current times.
Okay.
Like I saw him wearing a lot of like sweatsuits and like oversized shirts that had like matching pants and things like that. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what the deal was, but yeah, he made a mistake, clearly.
Yes. And that's, I think it's an important, you know, if you dive into any of the comment sections here on this news, you're going to get a lot of the like, what a fucking idiot, fumbled the biggest bag ever. Like, how would you ever do this? And I do think it's important, and a bunch of comments will be replying to this saying what I'm about to say, but like, yeah, let's just remember that cheating does not matter how hot you are.
No.
That is not why people cheat.
No.
So, it's an easy like knee-jerk reaction to have, like, oh my God, how could you cheat on that person, this person, whoever, because they're so hot, famous, celebrity, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's not why people cheat. It's just not like, You know,
I also think that if you are at the level where you're dating someone like Emrata, you don't really have a lot of boundaries that you've set for yourself. And you're going to push those boundaries when it comes to other relationships and do those kind of thing. Like, you're not, it's not like he cheated on this like random person that he was high school sweethearts with. Like, celebrities operate in a much different world than we operate in. They're going to much different events. They're getting talked to by a whole slew of people that we will never even dream of talking to. It's weird.
Also, not defending the infidelity whatsoever. But you know the Seinfeld episode where George is like dating or he borrows the hot picture?
Yes.
Like the real photo of the woman that Jerry's dating. Mm-hmm. And he starts using it.
Mm-hmm.
And like the proof that he has dated somebody that is this attractive, like opens all these doors for him. And suddenly he's in like the secret club where the models are hanging out at.
Oh,
that definitely happened to this guy. People were like, you're married to Emrata, and women were probably just like throwing themselves.
Oh, I feel like there's definitely a subsector of girls out there who would know like, oh, that's Emrata's husband. I'm going to go flirt with this guy.
Yeah.
I'm gonna test Emrata.
Yeah, not defending it, saying that that's okay or anything like that. I'm just saying that's probably another factor here is that just in this genre of this class of dating that we're speaking to here.
Emrata is a different case too. Like I know that she has her Instagram, she has her racy photos that she puts out, but like from her style standpoint, I've always just been very intrigued. Every photo of, I don't know what you would call it, their apartment, their house, their townhome, their whatever it is.
Yep.
I'm like, that is unique. And I like this. It's very eclectic. It's cool. It's just different than what you see a lot of other people posting. And I've always kind of been into that aesthetic side of her that I think gets overlooked a lot just because you can probably read all about it in her book, My Body.
Yeah.
I would like to read that book at some point. Maybe that's a good beach read for me. Could I just be. Don't know if I don't know if I read books anymore. I try. I do have a library card. It's the most responsible thing I've done in years.
Have you checked out any books from the library?
I've checked out 3 books and I have the furthest I've gotten in them is about 60 pages in. Before it expires. I hit the ground running every time I get it. I hit the ground running pretty hard on the first few chapters.
Yeah, you knock out like 40 pages one day. Like,
And then suddenly I get an email that's like, your book is expiring soon. I'm like, well, lost cause at this point.
What happens if you just keep it? You can't just recheck it
out? Oh, see, I'm doing it digitally.
Okay, I am aware that this exists for Kindles now as well.
Guess how many books you can check out at one time from the Austin Library?
How many?
50.
50.
When she told me 50, I looked at her and she said yes. And she held up her hands and she goes, 50. And because I think I just looked at her like, that is insane. That's simply too many books. I mean, maybe I'm doing research for retail therapy.
I've also heard this. This is, man, we're getting off on a tangent here. But you to check out
we turned book, Emrata content into library card content.
nobody else can do that. You want to check out a book on your Kindle. Sometimes you have to wait for it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is like a weird, I don't know, like cryptocurrency, digital, like thing that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
We're talking about a digital file. There's no limit to them.
Yeah. I don't understand why 50 people can have it checked out, but I can't check it out too. Like it's a digital file.
Right. So they're just putting like a arbitrary number on it for a reason that I don't totally understand.
Yeah. I was like, trying to.
I guess maybe they're paying for the license to X number of digital copies.
Maybe,
but
I didn't think about that.
I don't know. It's.
I was trying to get a Sally Rooney book recently, and it was like, you're 110th in line, and I was like, I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, it's gonna take you like a year to get.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I mean, sometimes, you know what you can do at the drop of a hat every time though. I'm talking about FitBod, baby.
Mm.
I've gotten to the point in my summer that I've realized that maybe I've let things go a little too much during this summer. maybe I've been enjoying myself a little too much, and maybe I need to get back on the. Back on the old workout train. And, you know, sunscreen's great, but there are burns that are good for you, like the kind you get after a good workout, Barrett. And sure, summer is your time to let loose like I have been, but enjoying some extra R&R doesn't mean you have to undo the progress that you've made on your fitness. And FitBod's smart workout app gives you the custom-tailored workouts you need to keep the burn going all summer long wherever you go. No aloe required. Whether you're just going to the gym and you're trying to get a workout routine done for that, or whether you're doing it at home, you can do it with just body weight workouts, or if you have at-home workout equipment, nothing is off limits when it comes to FitBod. There are so many different things, and all of their workouts build on your last workout, so you're always getting something new that's getting hit by their workout, and you can always know that you're making progress. FitBod's smart workout app creates custom dynamic program-based programs based on your goals, experience, and equipment. And their algorithm uses that data and analytics to build your best next workout and maximize results. Every workout is scientifically proven to be better than the last, and Fitbod tracks your recovery and varies up your routine to avoid overtraining. You can see your muscle usage, recovery, achievements, workout streaks, all in the app, and the app is super easy to use. They've recently redone it. They've even done a rebrand that is just beautiful. They have HD video tutorials. It integrates with Apple Watch, Wear OS smartwatch, apps like Apple Health, Fitbit, Strava, all of it. And for less than the cost of one session with a personal trainer, you can get a full year of personalized workouts with Fitbod. Crush your summer fitness goals with personalized workouts from Fitbod that improve as you do. Get 25% off your subscription or try out the app for free when you go sign up now at fitbod.me/scaries. That's 25% off your subscription, or you can try it out free at fitbod.me/scaries. This news dropped right before we started recording today. I usually don't like to report too much on the Kardashians, as I just get bored of them pretty easily at this point. But you know, when something happens in the news, I have to look over. And our girl Kylie, Queen Kylie, King Kylie, she's been branded a climate criminal after her private plane made a 17-minute flight. Have you ever flown private, Barrett?
Sort of.
Okay.
I've never been. Short answer is no.
Okay.
I've never been on like a G5 or anything in that realm of like luxury private flying, where you're flying in any type of like relatively long destination. Mm-hmm. I've been on some like private flights doing a little puddle hopping in Baja California. Mm-hmm. Long story that I won't get into, but
I'm definitely going to bring that up sometime.
That's the closest I've ever been.
I've only been on a private plane one time. We flew from Austin to Dallas, and it was for an ad deal, and so it wasn't like you could.
Like pouring you the dom.
Yeah, the way I would have preferred to have my first private flight would have been like bawling, and instead I was just like nervous that people were going to look at me being like, "Oh, this is his first ever private flight. This guy's like taking photos of everything." And so I tried to play it cool, and it ended up just being a pretty drab 45 minutes. Well, it turns out that I actually saw a tweet when her flight took off and people really started piling on her because she took a 40-mile flight. I chose a British publication to use to talk about this article with, where it says it's essentially flying from Gatwick to Heathrow, so just intra London travel. But yeah, she did about 17 minutes in the air, and she's getting absolutely roasted for it. They are wondering if it was a repositioning flight to get her plane to a different airport.
Yeah. So before I even got to the repositioning flight part of this this news release, that's what came to mind. Is like, this sounds like something where they needed the plane to get to the other airport for whatever reason, for maintenance, for a fix, because that's where they were leaving from, for XYZ. And that's not that. That doesn't seem that crazy to me.
If she was on the flight doing that, then it raises a red flag, because it's like, well, why was she on the repositioning flight?
True.
She doesn't need to be on a repositioning flight.
And I'm guessing that she wasn't, because even if you are flying private, there's no way that driving to the Camarillo airport to fly to the Van Nuys airport took any less time than 45 minutes. Like, all in.
Do you think she would like to holster her last Instagram that she posted that is her hugging Travis Scott in front of two private jets and a Rolls Royce, and it says, "You want to take mine or yours?" So not only do they have, you know, a private jet that's making 17-minute flights, but they have two private jets that they split between them. Are they always together, or are they as rocky as Tristan and Chloe?
I'm not sure.
I never know what's going on with any of them.
Well, they seem to have what I would call a professional agreement.
Like, okay. Do you want to explain? I think I know what you're talking about, but I kind of want you to explain it just because.
Well, and I mean, I believe the same to be true for Chloe and Tristan, but this one is even more. That one is a little volatile. That kind of seems like they also just can't quit each other.
Yeah.
But like, I believe that Kylie and Travis have been like, we will have kids together and we won't have kids with anybody else. And we'll hang out when we hang out, and we'll see each other when we see each other. And that's all that needs to be done or said. There is no way that either, like, that they are exclusively together intimately.
I could be completely out of pocket saying this, but I kind of in the same realm that we were talking about with Emrata and her ex, ex for sure now.
Yeah. Yeah. Estranged.
Like, when you're as rich and you have as much at your fingertips as a Jenner or a Kardashian has, or sure. Travis Scott.
Or even Travis Scott, yeah.
When you have that much at your fingertips, do your personal relationships fall by the wayside much more because you're so busy and active and traveling that like you almost just need to have some sort of arrangement that's like, hey, I'm going on tour for the next 3 months. I have to enjoy myself in order to be a productive person on this tour. Enjoy yourself as well. We'll reconvene after the tour and we'll try to just make things as normal as possible.
Yeah, I think so.
Like just don't get anyone pregnant. Don't kill anybody and we'll be good.
Yeah. And I think the pregnant thing is the biggest piece. I think that keeping their family
yeah.
within this little bubble is like the priority for them.
It's so, you have to stay brand safe in that manner.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's also just that's whenever there's a marriage or a relationship, kids is what makes everything complicated.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's generally what makes like divorce complicated.
What are you talking about? No, I'm just kidding.
But you know, the child support, all of that. So I feel like when you're in this type of socioeconomic class, they are making a business decision to only have children with one person.
That's probably fair. Yeah. It's just weird to me that like you'll hear all these rumors about Kardashians and Jenners and any big celebrity out there. And you hear that there's this like rift between them. And it's like, well, is that rift just the same thing as like Sally wanting to go to an appointment and I can't get off work in time to like let her go. And then we have an argument that night. That's like, like our 20-minute argument is their like TMZ headline. And I think I just need to remember that sometimes when shit like this gets reported.
Yeah. Yeah. When Wash Media becomes, you know, like worth like $40 billion or whatever, and you've got at your fingertips two Rolls Royces in a private jet, will you post about it?
I feel like if you get,
I know it's like expected for celebrities, especially ones like Kardashian-Jenners and Travis Scott to like, they stunt on Instagram. That's like part of the job description almost. But like, wouldn't you feel like guilty about it?
I would almost feel tacky posting like my own private jet at that point, because it's like you worked really hard to get there and then like just like flaunting it to people that are also working hard to like achieve their dreams. It just seems weird to me to like, but I would 100% do it.
Yeah.
but like me who doesn't have the option of doing that right now, it just like those posts just feel tackier and tackier as like you see them sometimes.
You're right, though. Maybe as you climb that ladder and you get there, it's more of like a, I worked hard, I earned this, I did this, like, I'm not going to feel ashamed for it.
Yeah, everyone likes to flex on vacation, too.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, I mean, there's the whole phrase, doing it for Instagram, and it has a very negative connotation to it. And it's been said, like, for years now, like, doing it for the gram, whatever. It's been around for, like, 7 years. Maybe longer. Who knows? But if people are getting out and doing things for Instagram, but that's still getting them out, I'm completely okay with that. If people are going to national parks and going on these, like going on a hike to go get some crazy picture and they're doing it for the gram, like,
at least they're out there.
Great.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad that you're out there at Yellowstone finding this thing and doing that. I actually think that's a noble venture. But I mean, yeah, I can act like I wouldn't and I'd be above it and I'd be like too cool to do that. But I would 100% be like posting the circle window in there and being like, oh, yeah, your plane doesn't have circle windows.
Yeah.
My G5
posting
does.
Up and like, you know, with you'd be about to do a bump of caviar and then you'd be holding like the blueberry palm Vizzy, just being like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen that? Have you gotten tagged as much as I have in the caviar bump stuff lately?
I've gotten tagged in a few. Yeah.
Have you bought a mannequin hand that you can do caviar bumps off of yet?
No, I don't even know about that.
Okay, there was some post and they had a mannequin hand that people were doing it off of that. And I don't know if this is what they were getting at because I didn't dive too deep into it, but I was like, does this change the taste of the caviar?
Yeah,
like,
are you keeping it? Are you? But see, I one of the things that I kind of appreciated the silliness of in the original, you know, the piece of content that we covered is that your hand like warms the caviar a little bit or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, or I don't know. It did something.
Well, they say like the way that a sushi chef like handles the fish, like definitely affects how you taste it. So yeah, I could assume that if you're doing it off of your hand versus a mannequin's hand, unless that mannequin hand is made with like some type of nice oak that's seasoned and suddenly you're just tasting like.
Or what are the caviar spoons made out of selling you on?
Why am I blanking?
Mother of pearl.
That's it.
Maybe the whole mannequin hand is mother of pearl. Maybe you're just stepping it up.
Why don't we just use spoons? Like, I don't think they need to be mother of pearl spoons necessarily. Not that expensive mother of pearl spoons.
Was this friends of the pod, or was this famous people doing mannequin hand caviar bumps?
Just some random. I want to say like Vanity Fair or something posted it.
Okay.
And then a bunch of people were just tagging me in and sending it to me. And I'm like, trust me, I've been on my caviar bump grind for a long time.
Yeah.
Still haven't done one, but I'm
It's now become must do content for us though.
Yeah. Like, you and I might need to take a little trip.
We've got to figure out whereabouts.
When I get back from vacation, it'll be August 1st. The Monday I get back is August 1st, which I kind of love getting back from vacation on August 1st. It's like, all right, I'm done for the month. I'm gonna hit the ground running on August 1st.
Yeah.
And it turns out we have to run somewhere to go get some caviar. We need to find out the cheapest place to get caviar in Austin. That's like not sketchy. Because that's my biggest concern. It blows my mind when I look at menus at seafood restaurants. Like Clark's Oyster Bar is one of the most famous restaurants in Austin for the seafood. Mm-hmm. And you go on their menu and it's like, oh, cool. Yeah, the cheapest caviar option is like $120. And for someone like me who doesn't have any idea what's good and what's bad, like give me a $20 caviar and just make me feel special.
Yeah.
I'm not doing this to like actually taste the caviar. I'm just doing it to like, I'm doing it for the gram.
Damn, I just checked. No caviar options on Thrive Market, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's too bad. They'll get there. I know there's like it makes me feel bad when I look at like menus, because I always no matter if I know what I'm getting or not at a restaurant, I will look at the entire menu just to make sure that I'm not overlooking anything or to see if there's anything ridiculous. Like I love going to the last page of like a wine list and seeing the just ridiculous bottles on there.
Yeah.
But when it comes to caviar, the cheapest option is often from like the Great Lakes. And that makes me feel bad about where I come from. I'm like, why does this have to be the cheapest option? Like, can't we just say that like there's some random lake in like the Mediterranean that has like shittier caviar than Michigan? Don't do that to me. I don't want to hang my hat on bad caviar. Whatever.
It's fine. I'm sure it's great.
Do you think you
can get some just freshly sourced, freshly off the boat while you're away?
That might be the baller move.
Yeah.
Do you think Kylie had any caviar bumps while she was on her 17-minute flight?
That seems like a time for at least one.
What do you do on a 17-minute flight? You can't queue up a movie or anything.
I think you just you just check the gram. You know, see how many likes your post with your boyfriend Travis got in front of your Rolls Royce and your jet got.
And then you search your name and see that you're being labeled a climate criminal.
Climate criminal, yeah.
I'm sure there's people take. Trust me. As far as climate criminals go, I'm not really worried about Kylie Jenner's 17-minute flight. I'm sure that there are many other companies, organizations, governments out there that are taking much more ridiculous measures to travel. Are more than 17-minute flights in Southern California.
It's it's tough out there for these celebs and billionaires with all the flight tracking. You know,
dude, real tough.
You can't even what's private about your private jet anymore.
I know. And like, I mean, in Austin, it's always the joke, like, yeah, you see Saban's Nick jet Saban. Took off from Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
Dude's heading down to Austin.
He flew to Austin. I know a guy that knows a girl that knows a real estate agent who says she showed Nick Saban's wife. Like, a couple of houses.
Everyone's just getting screenshots of texts that have been like that are like now grainy because they've been screenshot so many times, and it's like, oh, dude, it's happening. Yeah, it's never been harder to be a celebrity with a private jet getting labeled a climate criminal and having it tracked your every move. By the way,
this is what they always throw at Leo too, because he's like a big climate activist, and that's always their rebuttal. Oh, you love the climate so much? How about your private jet?
Yeah, I mean, he's donated so much at this point that like people just got to let him fly around on his private jet.
You got to think he's offsetting that carbon footprint through millions and millions and millions of dollars of.
If he's net zero, that's okay.
Yeah,
because I want Leo to be able to flex and do his thing.
Yeah,
I've heard some rumors about him just absolutely being on a tear with Tobey Maguire in the Mediterranean right now. Is there any truth to this?
It's possible, but he has maintained. His current girlfriend, I believe past his usual expiration date.
24?
Is it 24 or 25?
I don't know.
Because I think Camila Marone is 25. Either way, they've been going strong for quite some time now. And I don't know. This could be the one for our boy Leo.
Until he sees the Emirata news when he gets done with his flight, and suddenly DMs are just flying out the door. I would love if he dated someone like Emirata.
Yeah,
that would make me happy. That would make me happy for her.
They would be a powerhouse activist couple.
They might, if they got together, they might be the power couple.
Yeah.
They might, George and Amal are like, oh no, we got to do, we got to make a splash.
That would be a very powerful couple.
I'd enjoy it.
She is definitely over age for Leo though. She's 31.
Young 31.
Yeah. I mean, shouts to all the 31-year-olds. So shouts to all the,
wish
the,
I was 31.
The mid-30s out there, but that's.
I would kill to have 4 years back.
That's older
back.
Than anybody Leo has ever dated. So I'm just putting that out there.
Thank you.
Maybe he thinks it's time to settle down.
Thank you for managing my expectations with the power couple that I dreamt up.
I love it. I'm behind it. I'm shipping it.
Barrett, are you familiar with Rosé Wave?
I can't say that I am.
Somebody sent this to me the other day. It's nothing new. This is from 2019. Rosé Wave is an absolute state of mind. I hesitate to call it a full-on aesthetic because I don't know if it's reached that point, but I kind of want us to get there. This says, Rosé wine, the pink varietal that was once a punchline, has become ubiquitous in the summer months. Rosé Wave defies the easy definition. It's meant to be felt, not understood. Quote, it's unapologetic enjoyment for something that's a little basic, but makes you feel good, one enthusiast offered.
What else is, now go ahead.
No. I want your questions because I'm a little unsure of how Rosé Wave fits into my life right now.
Well, I don't want to burst anybody's bubble here, but I am going to come out and smack down Rosé Wave as chuggy and past its due date.
I think this might be a good take. I think this might be a good take.
Nobody drinks rosé anymore.
What are people drinking now?
They're drinking French whites. And natural wines have really stepped in to fill that.
Someone told Sally that orange wine is the new rosé, and she's absolutely rattled by it.
Yeah,
she doesn't know what to do.
Got lovely French and Italian whites out there. I think that it's never been a better time to be a tried and true Sauvignon Blanc.
I mean, a crisp Sauvy B on a nice summer day is unbeatable.
But there's a lot of stuff out there, like Viogniers and Albarinos and just like some other whites that are...
Listen to you.
That are kind of popping off.
And, where'd this and come from?
It's just been... It's been a weird thing how it's happened over the last 3 years, basically. The pandemic kind of killed rosé a little bit.
That makes sense.
Because it was such a social drink as well. It was so easy to order a bottle of rosé and pass it around a table. And then I don't know why it kind of fell out, but I feel like it has.
Why is organic wine polarizing?
Because it's not always very good.
Is that why?
Yeah.
I saw a column recently and I didn't read the column, but it just said the problem with organic wine. And I was like,
did it say the problem with organic wine?
I didn't read it. To be honest, I bookmarked it so I could read it later and then maybe do a segment on it. But I can't do wine segments on the podcast because I don't know enough about wine. I was happy that I knew that Pet Nat was a wine that you were talking about.
So there's a difference between an organic wine. All a wine has to do to be organic is be made with organic grapes, basically. Yeah. But then a natural wine is one that also limits the intervention.
Okay.
So it's reduced all use of added sulfites or flavors or just all the things that that you might add to a wine to make it taste uniform, mm-hmm. Across bottles, across vintages, all that type of stuff. Natural wines pull way back on all that type of stuff. So you get more funk, you get more variety. You might not get it might not taste the same from one bottle to the next, and it definitely won't taste the same from 1 year to the next.
I ordered a natural wine recently at a restaurant, and I did not know. I didn't order because it was natural. It wasn't until I saw on the wine list later that it had NAT after it, and I was like, oh,
yeah,
I'm out here just being sustainable.
But I think that you mentioned orange wine, natural wines. Those have kind of replaced rosé as the trendy picks.
I'm in. I'm fine with rosé going away. I'm tired of it.
I think you've hit on something there. Rosé basically tastes the same no matter how much you spend, no matter what bottle you get.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. Sally has one request whenever I go to the grocery store and she wants a bottle of rosé.
Yeah.
Sally's chewy. She's still drinking rosé.
Well, okay. Quick question. Is she drinking a still rosé or a sparkling rosé?
Still.
Okay.
Well,
So yeah,
she does both.
But so for still rosé, that's I'm more making the comment as still because I still love a June's sparkling rosé that type of.
She's Sally. If she's trying to celebrate something, she will go to the store and she will do a Schramsberg like sparkling rosé. But if she wants a normal still rosé, all she requests from me is that it's as light in color as it can possibly be. She wants it to be just a very faint pink.
Sure.
And that's all she cares about.
Yeah. And I'm not knocking rosé as like a bad wine choice either. I'm more speaking to like, if you saw somebody wearing a t-shirt from the brand, what was it? Was it called Brunch? What was it called?
I don't know. Who?
It was like gray t-shirts or black t-shirts with like big block letters.
Oh, yeah.
The Chive.
Private Party? Do you remember Private Party?
I do remember Private
Party. Dude, Private Party had an absolute chokehold on like mid-20s women at one point.
Yeah.
Every single bachelorette party that you saw people go on, they were wearing Private Party sweatshirts, t-shirts, robes, bathing suits, everything.
Yeah.
I think I went into someone's office at Grand X and said, hey, y'all need to go to this site and just like do what they're doing and just make it more sorority driven.
Yeah, I can't. This brand was very popular during the heyday of Grand X.
Okay.
But like if you saw somebody wearing one of those like big block letter t-shirts that said Rosé All Day
yeah.
on it in 2022, mm-hmm. what would your reaction be?
I don't want to say,
right? A little passe.
Yeah, you'd be like, okay.
Yeah,
we're still doing that.
That was a trend. Like, you know, 3 years ago.
Yeah, you got to be careful with graphic tees these days.
So you just keep drinking your rosé. I'm not knocking Sally for continuing to enjoy rosé. It's still a great summer wine choice.
Barrett, her eyes are on the future of orange wine.
It's just not a rosé wave anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you enjoy anything unapologetically that might be a little basic but makes you feel good these days?
I'm sure I do.
Yeah. Like if I start going down that road, it scares me to what I'll come up with. And I'll start really, really over-examining my chuginess.
Yeah. I got it. I'm drawing a blank here on like my more like millennial chugier choices, but there are definitely some that still exist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That
might be a good segment for another pod.
Yeah, like, I might need to think back on that.
What are the chuggiest things that we still love?
I mean, right in the vein of us talking about rosé, wines, everything, let me talk to you about my friends over at First Leaf. It feels like you need a degree in grapes to find great wine. You can shop by label, maybe, or you can try to remember what tannins are, but shouldn't it be easier? That's why First Leaf does the hard work for you. They make it simple to discover new wines that you'll absolutely love without the hit or miss. First Leaf samples over 10,000 wines a year from around the world and selects only the finest bottles. They take the time to learn what you like, what you don't, and then they send you world-class wines tailored to your taste. You go through this process. It's a very quick kind of survey quiz that you go through on First Leaf where you say what you like, say what you don't like, and then they give you 6 bottles of wine and you can swap them out if it doesn't sound good to you. And now that you've actually inspired me in this last conversation that we just had, I need to start mixing in some other stuff and seeing what I like outside of these summer reds that I've been just, you know, drinking the hell out of. But there are so many wines that come in that I enjoy. And if you don't enjoy it, you can just let them know and they'll rotate it out and give you something else a little different and you can see what you like. And if you're not happy with the wine you receive, they will even credit you for another. It does not get simpler than that. You can sign up today and you'll get your first 6 bottles for $39.95 plus free shipping. Just go to tryfirstleaf.com/scariest. That's tryfirstleaf.com/scariest to get your first 6 bottles for $39.95 plus free shipping. tryfirstleaf.com/scariest. It's time for our wish list and imminent cop updates. Bear, do you have anything to report this week for us?
Oh, man. You know what? I meant to mention this a couple of weeks ago. One of my early wish list additions became an imminent cop.
Really?
It was the parachute sheets.
Oh, good for you.
Could not be happier.
Yes.
Really, like, it was illuminating both for like, oh, yeah, we really needed new sheets once we were on these sheets.
Yeah.
But also, they're just, I mean, they're...
What color did you go with?
So... We went with the moss green mm-hmm. color, and we did the percale sheets, but the linen duvet cover. So you got a little texture play there.
I did a very similar thing to you, but I had more of like I don't even know what color it was at the time, like a clay.
Yeah, yeah.
I would call it. And I had that exact same kind of thing going on, and I absolutely loved my parachute era.
Yeah. As far as I just wanted to shout them out because they've been great.
No, if you get anything off of your wish list, Barrett, I want to be the first person to know.
Okay. I don't have anything super specific. I will mention one thing that I've looked at, but I don't think it's an imminent cop. It's just kind of like percolating in my brain. I'm headed to a wedding in Telluride later next month.
Sounds great.
It's outdoors. It will cool down in the evening. Mm-hmm. And so I've got like this vision of like a suit that has a little bit of a, like a Western flavor.
I love what you're doing right now.
This is very niche and it's going to be hard to track down, especially with a budget. Here.
Yeah.
Because like the one brand that I know has done some tailoring like this is the Ralph Lauren offshoot RRL. Mm-hmm. Unless I find just like an absolute steal on eBay, which is dangerous in and of itself, because who knows how that thing's going to fit. You know, it's probably not going to happen from them. So like the one I started thinking about corduroy quite a bit.
Okay.
And like then I came across like this one that was on sale for a great price on Bonobos. It's like this like kind of teddy bear brown corduroy double-breasted suit, but it's almost all sold out. They don't have my size anymore. So the closest that I've found here, and I'll pull this up for you, is from Acme Studios, and I'm pulling up the pants right now. This color is not exactly what I want. It's a little too purple. It's called aubergine.
Okay.
But I really, but
you're going through a purple phase.
I guess I am. But I really like the cut of these pants. I like the pleats. I like the cuffs on them. I think they look pretty sick with boots.
I just love the idea of Barrett being in his purple era right now.
the model is currently pictured here with the shirt, with the matching shirt, but there is a matching.
I kind of love what he's doing. He looks mad comfortable right now.
The problem here with this one, and the reason it's not an imminent cop, it's on sale for a great price. I wouldn't be able to get like Jack Nicholson's Joker out of my head.
Yeah. Okay. Now that you said that, that's just don't wear a lime green shirt underneath it.
Well, look, he is wearing a lime green. The model is wearing like a lime green shirt.
They unintentionally channeled Joker for this shoot.
Or maybe they intentionally went for it. There's a lot of purple and green happening right now. It's like big in sneakers too.
Yeah. Yeah. I love purple and green.
Yeah.
I honestly think that comes down to like 90s, but also Gorpcore, like just that kind of, I feel like hiking boots back in the day all were like dark brown with accents that were dark green and dark purple.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't hate it. I actually absolutely love it.
Yeah. Here's the coat. So, you know, it could work, but I think I want something a little bit with like a little bit more of like a Southwestern vibe.
I get it. Do you think you will do any hat wearing at this wedding? Because if there's ever a time to wear a Western hat to a wedding, it's a late summer wedding in Telluride.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I would probably skip the hat. Mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. Think that, but it depends. It depends.
If
I need the hat to like, the hat can't be like an addition to, if, you know, let's say I find a Western suit and I'm also wearing boots and like, maybe I also like pick out a bolo tie. I can't go hat on top of all that.
Yeah. No, that's a lot.
You got to take one thing off. Right. But if it's something more standard and I'm like accessorizing to make it feel more Southwestern or more mountainy, then the hat could be in play.
I need to wear my Western hat soon. I see it every day when I leave my house and I'm like, oh, this thing's just sitting there just begging to get worn.
Yeah.
We'll get there soon. We'll get there in, I guess, late October.
Yeah.
Maybe November if we're lucky too. I have a much less exciting wish list item. I'm on my big salad grind still. It's been a long time. Yeah. It's been happening. And I'll be honest, I'm not proud to admit this, but the way that Sally and I operate in the kitchen is not pretty right now. We have just the pepper grinder that you get in the grocery store that you just end up recycling after. We've got a little dish with our salt in it, which I'm actually okay with having a salt dish. I like doing a little pinch of salt, doing a little salt bay for myself.
Yeah.
But one thing that I really need is I need a restaurant quality pepper mill. It's been driving me insane that I'm just doing this bootleg pepper from my little store-bought pepper mill. No, I need to upgrade my life. And one thing that I always enjoyed doing at my old job was I would do a lot of shipping and receiving. And for some reason, we would always get a lot of kind of Nordic designed pepper mills in. And it kind of picked my interest a little bit. And so I don't know. I actually am not familiar with Jens Kiesgaard, who I'm featuring today. But there's one pepper mill. It's called the UFO. It's if you go on the screen, bear it right here.
Yes.
I like that little UFO guy for some reason. And while there's not a price or a way to buy it on this website, I'm going to go out and find one because
I like this.
I think a salad tastes so much better with that freshly cracked pepper on it, especially from a high quality grinder that you can kind of adjust the size of, do everything. And I think that we've gotten to the point in our kitchen and our cooking journey that it's time that I upgrade massively from our store-bought one to finally getting something that is, you know.
Oh, now this faked me out. I thought for sure the bottom is going to be where the pepper was coming out from.
So I'm not sure that you're wrong. I think the bottom is where it might come from.
Oh, this is just a designate pepper.
I think the top might be for salt.
Oh, is it a double?
It could be double.
Is it a doble?
I don't know. I actually didn't think this through before I looked at it.
What's the Nordic word for double?
Ooh, it says most of the mills have 7 holes for dispensing salt, with a few of the most recent specimens only having 6. So I guess this made for salt.
Huh. Okay.
I've learned that as long as you have something, maybe this is kind of like smoking weed that
There would be the pepper, right?
Yeah, as long as you have the mechanism in there and like you have a cavity where stuff can be stored, you can really grind pepper out of anything as long as you have the hardware for it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how people make bongs and stuff out of anything. Like, yeah, you can grind pepper out of anything.
Wait, how did you come across Jens Keistgaard?
I started Googling. There was another designer that I... Why am I blanking so bad this episode? There was another designer who did some Scandinavian stuff whose name is escaping me right now. And when I was looking for the specific pepper mill, the UFO came up and it was very similar to the one that I remember enjoying at my old job. And somehow I got just deep in the pepper mills of our boy Jens over here.
Yeah.
Jens.
You went down the pepper mill wormhole.
Yeah. I'm deep at this point. Yeah. But I just think that if I'm going to be living the big salad life, I need to make some necessary upgrades to do that. And
I think you just need to go like the biggest possible. Like, look at this guy back here.
So we had one at our old place. It was from, I'm sure you've heard of Alessi.
The pepper, like the pepper brand?
Alessi? No, it's a brand that does cookware, accessories.
I don't think I'm familiar.
They're very high end. And we used to sell them where I worked. And there was an Alessi pepper mill that was about, I don't know, foot and a half tall, absolutely massive pepper mill. And I just loved it. I always thought it was really cool. Oh, that just looks like a bong, Barrett.
It sure does.
Should we play a game on retail therapy called Pepper Mill or Bong?
Yeah. Hey, Essence is carrying Alessi. So that tells you all you need to know.
If you're scrolling, is that how you say it? Essence?
Essence.
I've always just said sense.
Sense.
But I've never actually said it aloud because I'm scared. like Lowe and Loewe.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think we need to start. I think we might just need to do Pepper Miller Bong.
It's going to be difficult. It's going to be a difficult game.
So yeah, I don't know if this is not an imminent cop, as the pepper mills that I've been looking at are way out of my price range currently.
Yeah.
Especially given the fact that I have 2 vacations that I'm just staring right down the barrel of the gun at. Mm-hmm, so I'm going to holster the pepper mill. Maybe it can get mixed into my fall.
Yeah.
My fall era.
Maybe it's a Christmas gift.
Hey, maybe it's a Christmas gift.
Maybe you just wake up Christmas morning, you go out to your stocking and you find the Acqua di Parma, you know, beautifully scented car air freshener, along with an Alessi or a Jens Keistgaard pepper mill.
The wish list has paid off for me. I will say that. I have gotten things from Sally for Father's Day from the wish list, and I'm glad that we are keeping a public wish list because it has made my life a lot easier when Sally says, well, do you want anything for your birthday? Do you want anything for Father's Day? Do you want anything?
Now
whatever.
She knows.
Hey, Sally, I got a whole thing right here. Just go check that out and just try not to get the most expensive one because that might financially ruin us, and I don't need to be financially ruined over a pepper mill.
Yeah, you want to purchase things that you can financially recover from.
Exactly. Barrett, we're due for a listener questions episode soon. I actually might just set up a hotline for us. So just keep an eye out. We're not going to do another episode for another 2 weeks. So we'll be back in August. And anything to close with today, Barrett?
No, man. Just, you know, stay cool out there. Start getting those fall wish lists prepped. And
Have you started curating your fall aesthetic yet?
No, I need to do some research.
I know. I need to figure out an aesthetic that's not English countryside clothing or like Bravcore. I need to find something else to do this year.
One early hint is that I am planning on carrying over lace shirt summer into the fall in ways that I've not totally, you know, bear down on yet. But as an underlayer, I would like some like airy, you know, garments maybe like peeking through in a variety of places. So Just something to look out for.
You just made me realize, like, I need to wear my mesh shirt sooner than later.
Better, yeah.
It's been a minute since I put that thing on.
Better throw that in the duffel.
It's not sexy enough for Northern Michigan. It's too sexy for Northern Michigan. Northern Michigan, I might get run out of town if I show up wearing a mesh polo shirt.
What would your mom think about it?
She would probably love it. Yeah. To be honest, my mom is like, my mom's my biggest fan, which is how it should be with moms. And I absolutely love it. I'd show up and she'd be like, whatever. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Can I have a glass of wine? Love you, Mom. All right. We'll see you guys a couple weeks.
Adios.